Hello again and welcome back to the Mighty Oaks podcast, the official podcast of the Oakley Cricket Club. And once again, we are proudly supported and sponsored by Ray White Oakley. Shout out to them and thanks for sponsoring the Mighty Oaks podcast for the season. My name is Miles Fabris, back again to host. And again, I'm joined by the chairman of selectors, Trent Shields. Welcome, Trent.
Thank you, Miles. And just very quickly, before we get to our other guest, I'm wearing a different hat tonight, as you will well notice. Despite it being 28 degrees outside and we're currently enjoying a rather exciting thunderstorm, which incidentally, why is it called a thunderstorm when it's mostly lightning?
Well, there's thunder too.
Yeah, we'll consider that later. Anyway, I'm wearing a beanie tonight, partially because I'm still unpacking my house and I haven't been able to find my collection of hats, but also because it's a pretty great hat with Oakley branding on it. This is from Icon. Icon, who are our exclusive apparel supplier. We've been with them for about 6 years, and this beanie is part of the range. They're the very first supplier and only supplier to date who can get the purple colour correct.
Well done, purple. Icon. Is a beanie a hat?
Goes on your head.
Oh, please, let's not start this discussion.
Well, the voice you just heard over there is our other co-host tonight, Matt Girolami. Welcome back, Matt, from Noosa.
Yes, we had a great time up there.
Little mid-season trip.
Yeah, a little mid-season trip. It was really good up there. So good to sort of have a mini reset before finals and get cracking back into it.
Yeah, welcome back to the podcast. Okay, so big episode tonight. We actually don't have as many games to go through, so we've got a lot of exciting segments, some returning, some new tonight. We are going to talk about round 13 of the senior season. A couple of round 7 games, which were rescheduled and played on a Sunday last week. We've got Trent's top 5 returning once again. Maybe another... Actually, I won't say what it is. We'll hear that halfway through the episode.
Thanks, Jim and Latho. I had to pull that one together very quickly.
And we have also got a quiz coming up later. Matt's going to pit a couple of Mighty Oaks podcast hosts against each other. Mm-hmm. And we've got some listener questions from you, from the Oaks fans, that we're going to answer later on, as well as a few other sneak peek things to go through. But the first game that we want to go through tonight is actually our veterans team, because they are through to a grand final.
Grand final, fantastic. Thank you, Milosh. After a fantastic season, they play a 7-game season, play the nice, comfortable every second week. If the temperature's over about 20 degrees, they don't play. And if it's under about 18 degrees, they also don't play. No,
that sounds
great. But I digress. I actually heard during the week that Masters sport, and in particular cricket, is the fastest growing sport in Australia. So so it's great that we've jumped on board this year. And congratulations to Phil Di Rosario and his team who have qualified for the grand final. They finished third, played against the North Alphington Black team, who beat us in round 6. Batted first, posted 7 for 195, with Amit Mehta making 42 not out, a former senior player at Oakley.
Yeah, I played with Amit.
And then we held the North Alphington Black team to 8 for 178 to claim a 17-run victory with Niraj Kosha, who's also played a senior game at Oakley, and his son Rayan is a young star in the senior ranks, taking 3 for 24. So congratulations on qualifying for the grand final. We'll be playing against Glen Iris B, venue to be confirmed. We're still negotiating the signage rights at Warrawee, which we're hoping to host the game at the House of Pain this Sunday. So yep. Stay tuned.
Amazing. Well done, Vets. First season in the comp, straight through to a grand final. Yeah, hopefully here at Warrawee. So this Sunday, the 25th of Feb, get down and support the boys. And hopefully our first of a few premierships this year, we hope. Okay, moving on. So we're going to start, like we did last episode, we're going to go through the fifth 11 first and work our way up to the first 11. First game we're talking about was round 17 for the Fives. They played against the fan favourite Thornbury Turf Strokers, and they had a win. Trent, do you want to tell us about this game?
Absolutely. Fifth 11, as you'd all be aware, great opportunity for some of our younger players to get some senior exposure. We've had a tough month. The last 4 games were all pretty heavy losses. Yeah. The last game in that stretch of 4, we had a really close loss, which was a real turning of form, and so it proved in this game. We travelled out to Thornbury, bowled first, and took out the Turf Strokers for 64. with young Tyro's Harry Cashman, Young Money, taking 3 for 12.
Young Money.
And Sam Duckett taking 2 for 11 off 4 overs. In reply, we finished at 6 for 138 when stumps was finally called. Joel Adjani continuing his amazing form of the weekend with a senior 50, 50 not out of 100 balls.
Joel in some brilliant form.
Rayan Kosher with 32 and the number one ticket holder of the Jack Allen fan club, Matt from Noosa. Do you want to give a call out to how Jal batted?
Yeah, I'll give a big shout out for Jal because he had square leg filming him. So I've actually seen some of the footage of him batting. And
don't tell me TikTok.
No, not TikTok. Okay. No. Just the Snapchat favourites. So probably sending them for fair a few enough people later that night. But Jal traditionally bats at 12 for our fourth 11.
Sometimes lower.
Sometimes lower.
Inconceivable.
Yeah, I know. Inconceivable with career high 29. But just some of the strokes, he actually looked like a proper batsman with what I saw. I'm pumping his tyres up a little bit here. But
He needs top six.
Genuine cover drives. Genuine lofted cover drive. Yeah, he always carries on about how he could whack him around the park and we've all kind of laughed him off, not really seeing it ever before, but this proves that he's actually pretty handy.
Proves you're wrong with a almighty
29. So good work, Jal.
What cool. I'm hearing is buy shares in Jack Allen.
Yes, buy shares. Get him in your fantasy team.
Well, if you're hearing that from the chairman of selectors too, that's pretty good mail. Anyway, let's move on. A great win in round 17 for the Fives, back on the winners list. And then we moved into round 18 and unfortunately fell off the winners list once again against the Victorian Vikings.
The Victorian Vikings, who play out of McKinnon.
This was a high-scoring game.
It was a very high-scoring game. Reduced to 40 overs a side because of the great number of junior players that we've got in our team who can't get to the ground at 12 o'clock for the start time. So the Vikings batted first and plundered 8 for 290. Josh Kerr and Carter Bilborough both took 2 wickets each.
Carter.
Josh Kerr had a nice double against the Vikings this season, 4 the first time we played them and then 2. So good on you, Josh. Keep working away at that. In reply, we probably never really threatened the total, but from a development perspective, I was really excited and impressed with us making 3 for 215. Some of the young guys really got a move on. Carter made a 52, looks a class act at that level. Andrew Thakur made 49, who's been playing some games at Essendon Premier and also played really well during the Dowling Shield. Arch back to form with 57 knots, and Damien Cleary, who's a member of our Vets squad, making 27 knots. So we're 5 wins, 8 losses and 4 draws. We're mid to low table in the fifths, but great learning experience. And look, that type of game, even though we lost quite badly, I think the way that we were able to wrench back some momentum in the second half of the game, really important, and bat out the overs. So well done, Fives. Last couple of games for the season to go.
Well done, Fives. Good luck in the final couple of games. Let's move on to the fourth 11. Only one game to talk about since our last episode, round 13 against Caulfield. This was a one-day match. Matt, please tell us about this game.
Yeah, so playing Caulfield at home, one of our finals sort of rivals. They're sort of hanging around the fourth spot, fifth spot
big
at the
game,
moment.
Yeah.
So
both teams in the four currently.
Yeah, us looking to solidify a top 2 spot. They're sort of looking to solidify their top 4 spot. So it was always going to be a really hard-fought game. Jack Allen again and Josh Gunawardena, fresh off the Dowling Shield win with Richmond, taking 2 wickets apiece. But really, it was the batting in really big trouble early, sitting around 3 for 9 after 7 overs.
Couple of ducks up the top.
Yeah, a couple of ducks, really early wicket. But it was the experience and class of Andrew Donoghue and young boy Raph Parton with his 50 and Doc sort of worked their way through that sort of really tough phase. And then were able to capitalise and put on a 159-run partnership. Doc ended up with 119 not out. You could tell he was probably struggling around the 50-run mark because then he decided to sort of put the noodling away and try and smash him into the next suburb.
Well, I see here he hit 12 fours and 3 sixes.
Yeah, six to bring up his 100 as well.
Wow,
big one,
nice.
Straight back over the bowler's
that's
head.
Beautiful.
Pretty much onto North Road. So it was a really big hit. And it was actually a good crowd down there as well. And the twos finished their match pretty early. So they got down to support us and get us over the line. So it was a really tight win. Good sort of experience of finals. I thought that we might have been touched up that game if we were 3 for 9. It would have been good sort of reality check before finals. But I think this is even better to sort of show that with the experience of Doc and then a young guy like Raph to sort of build a match-winning partnership together, it puts a lot of confidence into the group, a lot of confidence into themselves that we can do really well this final series, regardless of the situation we're in. So that takes us to second spot now. 8 wins, 2 losses, 1 draw. So we're sitting in a really, really good position.
Really, really good spot.
Going on to finals with 2 games left.
Yeah, chase down 190 is a fantastic effort, especially in 40 overs. The doctor, Andrew Donoghue, finishes 119 not out. And as you said, Raf Parton, who batted with him for a long time, scored 50, which was actually his second 50 in a row. So he's in a bit of form, going really well down there.
He made 39 the week before that as well, too. So he's
fantastic. Consistency.
So he's really, really building for the end of the season, too. So well done, Rafa.
Fantastic, and well done, the fours. Let's move on to the third 11. One game to talk to again with these guys. Round 13 against Caulfield, another one-day game. Oakley batted first in this one.
Posted a 9 for 206. However, much like the fours, were in big trouble early on, with some of the known batsmen dismissed, playing at the small Caulfield Oval number 2, featuring many dogs walking across it during games.
Yep.
Fortunately, Carter was able to make 38 again at the top of the order to get us off to a reasonable start, but then we fell in a hole, like I mentioned. And Dion De Silva, who's a real class batsman, was able to make probably his first real contribution for the season.
Good to have him back in some form.
Absolutely. Finished up with 60 off 72 to drive us to that total of 206. And look, even at a small ground, you always think you're a chance with 200
on
the board.
It's a good score. Absolutely.
Bowling, we did everything right from there on in. And Sam Iverson took a couple at the top of the order. Aaron Lund took a couple with his customary Yorkers, knocking the base of middle stump out.
Toe crushers.
And Taran Karunaratne with a couple as well too, with his leggies. So the threes had a really strong win there by over 100 runs in the end. They move on to 7 wins, 3 losses, 3 draws, and comfortably into second place.
Thirds and fours both in second place with 2 games to go before finals. Well done to the threes for that win. What we might do now, gents, is take a quick break. We're going to come back on the other side and hear another edition of Trent's Top 5. See you soon.
The Mighty Oaks podcast is proudly presented by Ray White Oakley. Ray White is there to help with all your real estate needs, including buying, renting, or selling your home. Go and see Jonathan Eaves at Ray White Oakley and tell him the Mighty Oaks podcast sent you.
Welcome back again to the Mighty Oaks podcast, and thanks once again to Ray White, the official sponsor of our podcast. And we're back with Trent for another edition of Trent's Top 5. Take it away, Trent.
Beautiful. Thanks, Milo. Just a special call out to Ray White as well, too. We sold a house through them on the weekend, so certainly giving them plenty of business. That's 3 auctions in the last six months.
Serving us well. Thank you, Ray White.
Terrific. All right, Top 5. We've gone with a culinary theme again this week. So last week it was the Top 5 Splatty Meal Deals. This week, a traditional favourite of cricketers, the afternoon teas. So this is opposition best top five afternoon teas. At number 5, Williamstown. We only get to sample it every 3 years, or every 6 years probably, playing there in H11.
True.
But they put on a great spread. Really nice mix of savoury and sweet, plentiful amounts, really nice old club rooms there as well too. And they're also probably the best change rooms where the players go into.
Before you go on, can I ask a qualifier?
Yes.
What makes a good afternoon tea? Are you looking for your stock standard sandwiches and fruit and a couple of lamingtons, and who does that the best, or are you looking a bit more exotic in your foods?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
So yeah, exotic can override the other.
But quantity?
Quantity can certainly be good too. It needs to taste good though. Mm. So I think you'll find that the top five has a sprinkling of all of those.
Oh, lovely.
All of those elements. Number 4, I'm actually going to reference 2 teams here, but I'm only going to name one of them in the top 5. So a couple of clubs do the make your own rolls, which is always a hit. You can put together your own sandwich. You can make it as big or as small as you want. Some people don't like tomato. Other people love double tomato. So you make it yourself. Mount Waverley and Malvern both do that, do a great job of it. Malvern get the tick into 4th spot because they quite often will have a sausage sizzle, and they'll give them away to the players for free as well too. So well done, Roosters. After the game, but it ties into the afternoon tea because it's sort of a continuation of the eating.
I'm just going to quickly put it out there. I'm not a fan of the make your own roll at tea.
Wow.
Takes too much time. Like, I'm a keeper, I suppose. Maybe I'm coming from that angle. You got a D-pad, D-spike, get up there, make your own roll. I'd rather just grab a few pre-mades and be on my way.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
There are a few guys who like to sit down in the rooms as well too, who get something brought to them. That'd be tough with a make your own roll.
Mm.
But also just walk up the stairs. It's not that far. Subbies have given us 25 minutes. It's too long.
Yeah, it is a bit extended now.
I'll give another shout out to Endeavour Hills as well, because they do it sometimes as well. Yeah. So Endeavour Hills in that category as well.
Play on.
Number three, Altona. Once again, another Western rival who we'd only visit every 6 years or so. Altona are well known for having pasta.
Ooh.
So you get a spaghetti bolognese or a penne with a...
I don't think I've had the tea
with
the
tomato sauce. Oh, well, it's also the best wicket in Subbies too, so you're really missing out.
Yeah, I don't...
It's a real cracker at the Frank Kirk Oval over the bridge. Altona in number three, always a thrill going over there for the pasta. Number two, our inner northern neighbours, Kew, who are one of the more affluent suburbs in Melbourne. And their spread is very much up to date with that as well too. So they are well known for having lemon chicken and fried rice amongst the normal staples as well too.
Yeah,
so
I reckon I've had curries there before. Yeah,
it's a real banger.
Yeah, which again, maybe not always what you want. But if you've opened the batting and you're already out in a two-day game, you beauty.
Glory. Which comes to number one actually, which is very much in line with that of how much food should you eat at afternoon tea? Now this one is not an every year time, but it is a once off. The greatest afternoon tea spread that I've ever experienced, 2008-09 Box Hill.
Wow.
It was the last game of the home and away season. Oakley needed a win and some other results to go our way to make finals. Box Hill were already out. Later, we found out that the Box Hill players had a competition with themselves who could outdo each other with an elaborate afternoon tea. Oh, we were eating prawns.
What?
We were eating chocolate-dipped strawberries.
No.
We had gourmet sandwiches. It was a hot day. Oh. The good thing about it was, we came in cock-a-hoop. We'd made 8 for 227 in a one-day game.
That's a good score.
BP 44, Meso 39, Dean Taylor 31, Joel Cook 28, not Junks 20, and AJ 16. We thought it was a walk in the park. We filled up. We filled our pockets. We filled
prawns
our life
and chocolate.
Up.
Fondue.
Went out to bat. Went out to field. Thought it would be a lay down mazare. After 12 overs, Box Hill were 1 for 100. We were staring down the barrel. Everyone was feeling a bit crook.
Oh no.
We pulled ourselves back together and rolled them for about 160.
Oh, so you still won.
We still won. Rolled them for about 160. We still missed out on the finals by percentage. Box Hill, 08-09, the best afternoon tea that I've ever had.
Good tactic, Box Hill. Almost got them up. And interestingly, we got the twos playing at Box Hill this week. So I wonder, we'll have to ask them how the tea is and whether they've got prawns.
I think that their standard is quite good as well. But yeah.
Josh Peake calling you. Shout out Peaky if you're listening.
Hello, Peaky.
Two's playing there this week. Box Hill are 10th or 11th, so they're already out. Maybe the prawns make a return. You never know. Let's hope not, actually. Thank you, Trent, for another top five culinary edition, the best away teas. I should ask, I'm assuming Oakley didn't count in this.
Oakley did not count.
Because Oakley would
not
be
an
number one.
Team.
Yeah.
Would you have Oakley number one?
Yeah, I think so. Look, for absolute consistency.
Every week.
It's tremendous.
Fantastic. All right, that's Trent's top five. We're going to keep moving on in the episode later on. We got Matt's quiz coming up. We've got some viewer questions. But Trent, you also wanted to give us a quick summary of how the junior teams are going and tell us about an exciting new venture that the club has recently started.
Absolutely. Thanks, Miles. Pertinent to talk about the juniors this week too, as they've got their last home and away games coming up this weekend.
Okay.
So we'll start with the under-11s. We've got two under-11 teams named after Carlos and Webb. I'm not sure why we didn't go with Wakefield.
Wakefield and Webb.
Just went for the first name. But anyway, last game this Friday. They don't have a ladder in the under-11s, but they've improved significantly over the course of the season, all the players, and they've had a really fun and enjoyable time. Thank you to the parents for being involved there. Our under-12 Alanas team, which is our first foray into girls cricket, which is fantastic. They've still got two games to go on Wednesday, so tomorrow night and next week.
Mm-hmm.
They lost their first game of the season, but they've won every game since, which is fantastic. Let's
Amazing.
Go bananas, the new catchphrase.
For Alana,
We've also, Hish Fernando, who's the coach and team manager, has been able to secure a new sponsor for the club, for the junior club.
Fantastic.
KPAC Hish. Commercial Cleaning Company, Steve Kalpakian. Thank you very much for your contribution
Welcome
and joining
aboard.
The club. We've got the under-13 Pattinson team who have their last game this Friday.
They're still playing?
yes, they're still playing. They're a mathematical chance still to make the finals too, as well too. A couple of the best contributors this year so far have been Patrick and Arvin with 6 wickets each, and Yeshin and Elijah with over 100 runs each. We have two under 15 teams. We've got the under 15 Friday night team that play on synthetic wickets, the under 15 Harford team. We have a pretty massive effort here by one of our players too, so I think our viewers will be entertained by this. Joel Ajani has made 467 runs at 116.75.
Hey, that's not bad.
And taken 12 wickets to go along with it. His opening partner, Yanni, has made 150 runs at 50 and also taken 12 wickets. We've also had Jashin, Millen, Seb and Cam, who are bottom age players in the under-15s, who have all debuted in the seniors this year in the 5th 11. So fantastic, those boys, and getting some exposure to the seniors, and we'll be watching their careers with great interest.
Well done, boys.
Our second under-15 team, the Pearson team, who play on Sunday mornings. We've had Noah, Aiden and Cooper, who have scored over 100 runs, and we've got Young Money, Harry Cashman, with 12 wickets leading the way. And Ashen with 8, so the Spin Twins are leading the way there in the under-15s. They're currently on top of the ladder, hoping to they have qualified for finals, as have the Friday night team. So they've got their finals on the 1st and the 8th, and then the grand final on the 15th and 22nd. That's on Friday night, and the Sunday team play on the 3rd and the 10th, and then hopefully on the 17th and 24th. Also, we've got our netball club, the Oakley Netball Club, who have resumed their autumn season in the last couple of weeks. Three teams that are playing on Saturday at Caulfield District Netball Association down at Duncan McKinnon, and we have two teams playing at Stonington during the week. So we've got the under-15 Waddles, who are a bottom-age team. Their first game, they were victorious 28-5 versus the Manc Wildcats.
Big win.
On the weekend, they are sort of crashed back to earth a little bit in the grading games, losing 11-31 to the Murrumbina Buddies.
Big
and
they've
loss. Got the St Anthony's Thunderbolts this week.
Oh, the Thunderbolts. So, a few Thunderbolts happening outside the window here, actually.
Absolutely.
Rocking up early.
Well, we can't tell. It's just lightning.
Yeah.
Okay. Cheers, Trent.
Our other under-15 team, the Bluebells, who play in Division 2 of the under-15 grade, they had a 19-all tie with the Ormond Hurricanes in Round 1, and then
good
a big
names.
Win, 27-9 against the McKinnon Blues. Our under-18 Fuchsias, which is a very difficult word to spell. Try it at home. Played their first game. They had a bye week one. And then in the second week, they had a high-scoring loss to the Murrumbina Brights, 23-29. And they've got the Manc Blaze this week. So good luck, girls. We've also got an open women's team who play on Thursday night. Their first game of the season is this coming Thursday. So in a couple of days, they're
good
playing
luck,
down
girls.
At the new Chadston Netball Centre on Chadston Road. And very excitingly, we have our very first collaboration between the cricket club and the netball club.
Yes, here we go.
Our open mixed team. They had their debut game on Monday, just going down 8-32 to the Untouchables. They are playing the Manc Cannons this coming Monday at 8:05, and they're hoping to get just a little bit of height injected into the team.
Yeah,
they were.
I heard Ben Salmon's getting the call up. I actually think from strategy, from what I heard, sticking Tom Ice in a goal shooter might have not been the greatest strategy.
Who played for us?
So
from
the boys' team, we had Matt Tyson, who has a little bit of netball experience. His mum's also been a netball coach in the past.
Not a lot of height.
No, not at all. I had Harry Rosaro as well. Again, not a lot of height.
Not a lot of height.
First ever game of netball for D-Roz. Nice. Then we've also had Tom Ison. As the third player. A little bit of height, but apparently he's playing on someone who was as tall as Ben Fletcher. So good luck to you when you're doing that.
So he got touched up a bit, did he?
Yeah, a little bit. But on rotation, we have...
Consensually.
Yeah. We've got a few boys rolling through that team. So Ben Salmon obviously getting the call up this week. Myself, I'll go down and play a couple of games this year.
Nice.
We'll have Jimmy Francis and Max Getley get down for a couple of games as well. So we'll all... Beautiful. Show our support for this new venture. I think we're all pretty excited and pretty keen when we got the message from Trent if we wanted to get involved.
Yeah.
And we all sort of collectively said, yeah, this could be a really cool
Fantastic.
And exciting opportunity.
So Monday nights.
And
where are the games?
The games are at Stonington Netball Centre. So that's just literally newly built at the back of Chadston Shopping Centre.
Just off Chadston Road.
Beautiful.
So if anyone who plays juniors, like we did Percy Traford Reserve, where they had the Bowls Club, the Bowls Club's been demolished and now Stonington's replaced it.
Now you can see the Mighty Oaks running around in the mixed netball.
Absolutely. One thing we did want to call out, we haven't got a name yet for that team.
For the mixed team.
They're currently in the fixture as the Oakley Cricket Netball Club Oaks. I think we can come up with something a little bit better. Yeah. If any of our viewers want to nominate any names.
Yeah, that could be a little project of the podcast here. Yeah. Send in
it's got to have Short in it. It's got to have Short in it, surely.
And it's Open Age, is it?
Open Age, yes.
Okay. Well, we'll work on that and maybe we'll revisit that in later episodes.
Yeah. DM the Oath Career Club Instagram page if you've got any ideas.
Or comment on this podcast, on the YouTube video if you've got ideas. And we'll try and come up with a name for our mixed netball team playing on Monday nights. Thank you for that update, Trent. Let's move on to the remaining games that we have, the second 11 and first 11. We're going to start with the twos. Now, both the twos and ones played a makeup game. Round 7 against Brighton, which was washed out in December, was rescheduled to last Sunday. So they played two one-day games in 2 days. They were both pretty hot days, so it was a tough weekend for some, especially me, returning after 6 weeks not playing any cricket into a Saturday-Sunday doubleheader. Round 13, which was the Saturday game, the twos played here at Oakley against Endeavour Hills and had a really comfortable win. Bowled first, bowled Endeavour Hills out for 58, and the hero of the day, well, first of all, quick shout-out, Jeff Latham returning, took 2 for 16. He played the game before, but took 2 for 16 off his 6 at the top. But the hero was Ben Salmon, Noodles, who bowled 9 overs and took 5 for 10.
5 for 10.
Pretty, 3 maidens. Pretty excellent figures. And I actually caught up with Ben Salmon out on the training track tonight at training and asked him about his fifer. So let's hear from Ben Salmon. All right, here on the training track with Ben Salmon after he took 5 for 10 off 9 overs against Endeavour Hills in round 13. Ben, we both played in that game. You bowled beautifully. How did you feel at the end of that game? Were you pretty happy with the fifer?
Yeah, I was pretty ecstatic, to be honest. It's been my first one at the club and first one for a long time as a whole. So I was pretty happy with the day overall to get a pretty comfortable win. And yeah, no, definitely didn't celebrate too hard that night though, because game the next day, but it was good.
Yeah, well, true, exactly. So I might ask you about on that specific day. So this game against Endeavour was out here on this wicket behind us. What were you focusing on as a bowler that day? And is there something that you try to focus on every time you bowl specifically? Or what makes you bowl well?
Definitely rhythm is what makes me bowl well. It's a feel sort of thing. I don't have a set thing I focus on, but I'll know after an over or two, like when I'm in the groove of things. And there's a couple little things, like I'm usually focusing on a certain spot and just really trying to bowl it hard there. Just trying to bowl the ball. That's all I'm trying to do. And yeah, it's worked out well on the weekend. So yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. And I want to ask you about your whole season overall. So you've just taken a fifer in the second 11 at the start of the year. You started in the threes, played a handful of games and came up, debuted in the second 11 five, six-ish games ago. And now you've got a fifer. Yep. How would you rate your personal overall season so far?
I think I started off pretty poorly, to be honest, and just, you know, over in my own head a bit. And I just slowly worked my way into it and probably got my opportunity through injuries and then just really grabbed the hold of it, and I think I made the most of my opportunities, and yeah, it's worked out pretty well so far. Yep. Yeah, still plenty of work to do, so yeah.
Fantastic, and hopefully you'll be taking part in a final series very soon. But last thing I wanted to ask you, that game, the Endeavour Hills game, we played Saturday, Sunday, two one-day games. On Saturday we played here at Warrawee, and on Sunday we played at Brighton. The conditions were completely different. Here we bowled a team out for 60 and it was slow and hard to score. And at Brighton, if you tapped it past the fieldsman, it went for 4 on a small, quick ground. As a bowler, and I know you bowled in slightly different positions on each day, what was the differences mainly for you and how did you approach your bowling differently at different conditions?
I think to start with, I didn't change initially. And then I realised it's not going to be the same on a fast Brighton outfield with small boundaries. So just later in the game sort of changed up and just changed lengths up and sort of bowled to my field a bit more instead of trying to chase the wickets when you're on. Because when you're not on, there's no point chasing wickets because you'll just get hit for plenty of runs. So,
fair enough. Well, thanks, Ben. Well done. And good luck for finals.
No worries. Cheers. Thank you.
That was Ben Noodle Salmon telling us about his year and telling us about his fifer against Endeavour Hills. As I mentioned previously, the Oakley Cricket Club bowled Endeavour Hills out for 58. And chase them down relatively comfortably, 2 for 59. Rob Howes got 31 not out, who batted through and did the job. Lost a couple of wickets there, but were never really in any danger. We had a nice early finish, which meant we could all go down and watch the fours, watch Donners make that ton and post that win against Caulfield. So a good win for the twos on the Saturday. On the Sunday, we played round 7 against Brighton, away at Brighton. And I cannot believe how different the conditions were playing at Warrawee on a Saturday to playing at Brighton on a Sunday. Same weather, just the size of the ground, the quickness of the outfield, and the pitch itself, chalk and cheese. You would love to bat there every week because you only have to tap the ball through the infield and it just runs away for 4. On Saturday, we bowled first, bowled them out for 58. On Sunday, we bowled first and Brighton posted 6 for 179. And I don't think we bowled much better or worse. It's just the conditions of the ground.
They actually got away to a really strong start too. To peg them back to only 179 was probably a really good effort there as well.
Yeah, they did. And on that note, it is definitely worth shouting out Jeff Latham in this game, who opened the bowling and bowled 9 overs, 2 for 21, went at 2 and over when everyone else was going at 5 and over. He bowled outstandingly that day.
He's a rare medium pacer that actually quite likes bowling at Brighton.
Yeah, knows what to do.
Jeez, medium pacer.
But yes, so Brighton posted 179, and Oakley, we were able to chase him down. 4 for 180 in the second last over. A couple of run scorers, but the top run scorer was James Benn, who ended up 57 not out off 84 balls and carried the innings, was really smart and batted beautifully. Not out the end, stayed calm throughout the chase, especially there was a period there at around 35 overs where we fell behind the run rate a bit. But he knew that, or he backed himself that he could catch up and hit the boundaries to finish it off, which he did, and hit a couple of sixes in the last couple of overs just to make sure of the result. And yeah, 57 not out. Well done, Jimmy Benn.
Yeah, host fantastic, of the pod. Jim. Obviously a very talented cricketer, and we'd love to see that as often as possible. We know that you can't do it every week. Cricket's a game of statistics and it's a game of percentages, and even the very best batsmen probably only make a score every 4 games across their career. But yeah, look, if he can pull some of those innings together as well as some of the destructive ones that he's known for, he's an extremely valuable player.
Yeah, and he was pumped about it at the end when he got into the rooms. So might have been a previous game at Brighton that didn't go our way, but let's not talk about that. But yeah, well done, James Benn, 57. I made 44. Ange got 33. And I did just want to give a shout out, especially to Carter Bilbro, who's played most of the year in the threes, has played a couple of games in the twos, but came in when Ange got out with about 10 overs to go and hit 24 off 23 balls. Yep. And it was exactly the innings we needed from ball one. Great intent, was really busy. Gave the strike to Jim by scoring off essentially every ball he faced. And I don't think we win that game without his innings there of 24. So well done, Carts.
Fantastic addition to the club too. He's been great socially as well too.
Absolutely.
Really nice guy, and just walked in off the street moving down from Queensland for work as a physio.
Well done to the twos. So they got the double win Saturday, Sunday. Puts them at 10 wins, 3 losses and sitting second on the ladder with 2 games to go. Pushing for maybe a top spot or at least a top 2 finish before we head into finals. Okay, moving on to the first 11. They had the same fixtures, Saturday against Endeavour Hills, this time away and Endeavour Hills, and they had a win as well. Trent, do you want to tell us about this game?
Sure, I can. Found a bit of batting form as well too, with the Oaks batting out at Endeavour Hills. It's traditionally quite a good batting wicket as well too, and we posted a really solid score. 9 for 231 off the 45 overs. 2 of the top 3 both made half centuries. So Nath Harford made 52 off 42 balls.
Quick.
With 7 fours. And Jack Clark made 50 off 76 with 3 fours and 2 zacks. Ryan Pearson also chipped in, opening up with 31 off 35 with 5 boundaries. Really good score. Possibly could have got a little bit more at the end there. You would have liked to have seen one of those guys probably go on and make that big 80-plus score.
Yeah, definitely.
We've probably just been lacking that a little bit in the ones so far this year. In response, Endeavour Hills, after 2.3 overs, were 0 for 46.
That was a crazy start.
Yeah.
Things went a little bit better for Oakley after that point, though, and we managed to bowl out the Hillbillies for 137. Raza took his best first 11 numbers with 3 for 23 off 6 overs.
Excellent, Raz.
And big Benny Fletcher had some catches taken and finished with 3 for 40 off 8.2.
Yeah, so nice to see him with a few wickets there as well. Has deserved them.
Round 7 versus Brighton, who are obviously pretty high up on the ladder. They're currently third on the table. Have a really strong team. Played them in a one-day game. We batted first. probably didn't capitalise again. It's a tough ground to score on at times this year because the grass has been really long and the wickets probably had a bit in it. But we just had guys who didn't go on with it again, sadly. So we were all out for 140. Jack Clark again waving the flag with 37 off 68 balls with a six that he hit a big six down into the tree in the cemetery. Was actually caught going for a second one on the boundary.
Yeah, I just put that in. Not often you see in innings with no fours but a six.
Yeah. I think we only might have hit one or two fours as well too for the day. So it was just
hard to hit him out
here. It was tough going. Brighton ended up winning by six wickets with three or four overs to spare, but there was actually a fair bit of pressure, especially early on. So credit to Fletch and Peakey who bowled some really hostile spells early on and had Brighton on the back foot. They certainly weren't scoring well. The difference was, and we sort of called it out, one of Brighton's openers ended up 50-not.
Yeah, off about 150 balls, yeah, I think. Yeah.
Willing to grind it out, which was great. So a wicket each to Fletch, Pierso and Stampsey got the prized wicket of Rick Damiano.
So a win and a loss on that weekend for the first puts them overall six wins, six losses and one tie, sitting in ninth. And we're going to talk about what the equation might be for them to make finals, which is top six, two games to go. That's going to be part of our viewer questions, which I think we'll move on to now. Matt, you put the call out on Instagram.
Yeah, put the call out about 8 o'clock last night for any of the viewers that wanted to ask us any sort of questions to just send them in. We'll go in order of how early they were sent in. So first question that was sent in was, retrospectively, who would have won the Man of the Match award for the 2013-14 Second 11 Grand Final? And there was a note that Daniel Croft self-proclaims it was him.
Okay. Well, I have the actual scorebook from that year.
While Miles is getting to that, I'll give my opinion as someone who watched that game, or day two of it anyway, from a very hungover vantage point in the Werribee grandstands.
Why were you hungover, Trent?
I believe that the third 11 might have won the grand final the day before by 5 p.m.
You are correct.
With the concession by the opposition captain. Never seen that before, but very enjoyable.
I found it. I'm going to have a look.
I'm going to give my vote to a player who wasn't named in the original 11. Will Taylor was the player of the match.
Hang on a minute.
Will Taylor was the player of the match. Without him, we wouldn't have won. He took the last catch. He managed to somehow get himself from bed at 1 p.m. to Werribee to win a premiership.
Yes, because he was in the third 11 flag. Why did he have to sub field? What happened to someone?
Someone was injured.
All right, I'm having a look at the scorecard here. Oakley batted first. We posted 252. Mm-hmm. Top score, Andrew Splatt, 64. Also had Matthew Norton, who asked this question, 53, maybe just hinting that he might have deserved more. Jeremy Devlin, 47.
He probably got it. He spoke very nicely to the umpires at all times.
And having a look at John Robinson. Innings, they got close. They got 225.
They did.
One of their openers got 82. Let's have a look at our bowling. So Crofty reckons, okay, Daniel Croft, 21 overs, 5 maidens, 4 for 55. Pretty handy.
It was very handy.
Pricey take four catches?
Court Price. Three, I think.
Three. Okay.
And there it is, well, Court sub Taylor.
It's interesting because people do say it's very hard to make a 50 in finals. So,
interesting.
Because it was very interesting. We had a very similar situation last year where Latho took 4 for 21 in the second 11 grand final, but Jock made a match winning 60 the next day. And in that game, the umpires went with Latho. So,
well, I mean, looking at this, the Werribee opening bowler took 6 for, and the Werribee opening batsman made 82. But you can't give it to them because they lost.
That's why Nathan Buckley winning the 2002 Norm Smith medal will go down as the greatest robbery of all time. But anyway, won't get into that.
Brisbane fans on the table here. Yeah, look, given we had three batsmen score about 50, and it was a pretty high-scoring game, and Daniel bowled 21 overs and got 4 for.
No, you can't give it to him.
I actually don't mind. I'm going to give it to him.
Yep.
I'm going to give him.
Wow.
Okay. So, Nordo, thanks for the question. I'm giving it to Crofty. Well done, Crofty.
Well done, Daniel.
And well done, Will Taylor.
Very nice. Second question. I've actually done a fair bit of research into this to sort of answer this. What is the full equation that will see the first 11 make finals?
Okay. So, I'm going to get up the ladder on my phone here.
We're going to get up the ladder. So
I've got a pretty good idea of it as well.
For those that,
there is a path.
Yes, there is a path. With two rounds to go, for those who don't know VSDCA, first and second 11s, they have top six make finals for 3 weeks worth of finals.
Mm-hmm.
So at this stage, with two rounds to go, Oakley need, so this is round 14 only, Oakley need to beat Box Hill. Port Melbourne need to lose their round 14 game against...
Port Melbourne are playing Mount Waverley.
Mount Waverley.
Who are fourth. Port Melbourne are eighth.
Yep. And then you have Malvern and Ormond, who are sitting sixth and seventh at the moment. They play each other. And for the sake of it, just because Ormond are a game ahead, we would like Malvern to win that game.
Okay. So we need seventh to beat sixth. We need fourth to beat eighth. And we, as the ninth team, need to beat 11th.
Yeah. So that will leave us on 45 points, Ormond and Malvern on 48 points, and Port Melbourne on 42 at the conclusion of that round.
Mm-hmm.
So then in round 15, we actually...
need an infographic.
Yeah, we do need to chuck it up so the viewers can
if
follow.
If I can work out how to do one, you'll be watching it on YouTube right now. Snakes and ladders?
Round 15 after
the
that...
The live ladder.
Oakley actually play Malvern the week after, so obviously that'd be self-explanatory. You'd need to win that game.
Win that game.
And Ormond play Elsternwick, who are first.
Who are sitting
the
first.
Next week.
Interesting.
So
if we beat Malvern, we would be 3 points above them.
Yep.
Yes.
We would be 3 points above Ormond, and we'd be 9 points over Port Melbourne, or 6 points over North Melbourne.
Port Melbourne.
So in that case, that would allow our first 11 into finals,
and that would probably have us finishing sixth.
Yeah.
So there's a path there. So if you can make sense of everything that we just went through, basically we've got to win both.
Yep.
So there's your first tick. Let's try and win both. And then we'll, those other results go our way. Go the ones, good luck to us. And hopefully we can sneak the ones into finals, because 2, 3s and 4s are already locked in. So we get 4 out of 4 into finals if we can do that. What's our next question, Matt?
Huge. So another one in. What is the best performance by a single player so far this year? Now, for information, as people know, I run the social media, and I did one of these top five performances pre-Christmas countdown, and I copped a lot of stick for that. So apologies to any journos who I've ever slated for their top five list, because I now understand it is very hard to appease everyone. So I'm actually going to stick with who I put at one there.
Fair enough.
Was Josh Peake with his 6 of 41 against our arch rivals Caulfield. I don't really think it gets much better than that. That was a 2-day game where we...
Saturday-Sunday game as well,
where we didn't bat the greatest and got rolled for 130-odd. Gracie got us to that score with a nice 60. But Peakey came out the next day. I think he bowled 16 or 17 overs and basically won us the game with the ball. So I will stick with that. Yep.
Also
top
contributed
selection.
Well with the bat too.
He was part of the key partnership.
Yeah,
with Gracie. So that sticks out as my number one performance still. I'll hand it over to you two though. What do you think?
Have you got one on the top of your head?
It's hard to go past that one, to be honest. If you were nominating an event, you would say the partnership between Doc and Rafa.
160 run partnership.
Yeah, coming in at 3 for 9 in a very big run chase against a strong opposition.
Yep.
If we're choosing an individual, extremely hard to go past that lion-hearted performance by Peakey against Caulfield.
Yeah, well, the one that comes to mind for me was round one Paddo, James Pattinson, when he made a runnable 100 coming in on a hat-trick ball. And then took 3 for as well.
3 for.
In a losing side. So that one comes to mind.
Maybe we'll give him the Nathan Buckley Award.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, in the twos in the games that I've played, there's a game out at Bayswater where Anch opened up and got 98.
Yep.
Which was a pretty fair knock. The second top score that day was 25. So that was a pretty good knock by Anch.
Mm.
And I also... And Raza took 7 for in the threes in one game.
Nah, it was a 4th-11 game against Brighton. That was my second on my list, and Paddo was my third one. So,
yeah. Well, there you go.
There you go. Pretty similar ones. And then the last question, who is your dark horse performer for the upcoming final series? And how we might do it is, Miles, you played second 11, so I'll get you to name someone from the twos. I'll name someone from the fours, and Shieldsy, if you can name someone from the threes. So I'll start off with my 4th 11 one. And if you'd asked me, a new player to the club came down with his mate Sam Briggs after he played in the Craig Carnival last year. It's Raph Parton. We touched earlier in the podcast, he's hit form, 250s in a row and then a 39 the week before.
Yeah.
But what people might not notice about him is he, in juniors on the Sunday, he actually gets picked as a bowler and he bowls really good leg spin. And his leggies have a fair amount of drift to them. So they drift into the right-hander and then he obviously takes them away as a natural leggy. So I think as a bit of a golden arm come final series, especially in two-day cricket, he could be someone you could chuck the ball to, get 5, 6, 7 overs out of him.
And has he been getting much of a bowl in the
pools? He has got 2 games. And just because we haven't played a lot, he's not recognised as a proper bowler.
So two-day cricket could be a
Yeah, sniff. So two-day cricket, when there's a few more overs to bowl, definitely look towards him. In one-day cricket, it's probably a bit too short to sort of give him a proper go. But yeah, so contributions with the bat throughout the year, that ability to take wickets with the ball come finals could be super invaluable for us.
Yeah. And what number's he been batting?
He's been batting 5. So he sort of made that number 5 position his own. He sort of moved around. He was batting at 3 for a period early in the year, but he looks the most comfortable at 5. Sort of learned, there was a performance in Bayswater just before Christmas where in a one-day game, he probably batted a bit slow. But that's just his natural game. And so for two-day cricket, that'll probably be perfect.
Suits the red ball.
Yeah, suits the red ball. His game suits the red ball game, which is why I think he will be a real exciting prospect coming finals.
Terrific. Okay. Great nomination.
You want to go next? Threes?
I'll go next. Threes. So a guy who I like to think of as the Iceman ever since I first started playing with him in the fours. He actually won a game off his own bat in a 4th-11 semi-final, coming in at a dangerous position and sort of just batting so smartly to get through the tough overs and then sort of expand and elaborate with his shot making to make a 60 or a 70 in that game that we ended up winning at Malvern. He's gone up and he's played similar innings to that in the twos. He's made a couple of 50s in second 11 finals a couple of years ago. Had a rough trot of it for the start of this season, but came back to very strong form last week with 60. Dion De Silva. He's my guy. Class is permanent. And form is temporary, but he looks like he's back and he's ready to go. So watch out, third 11 bowlers.
Okay, Dion, good luck in finals. I'm going to pick someone from the twos. Think about it quickly. I'm actually going to nominate one batsman, one bowler, if that's okay. I reckon...
Your podcast.
One X factor, but okay.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, you nominated a batsman and a bowler, but they were just the same player. So yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Batsman, I reckon Ansh. Ansh Srivastava. He's the hardest trainer. He's always doing extra throwdowns after training. He had a ripping start to the year. Then went up to the ones, injured his finger, had a fair bit of time out, and he's just making his way back, and I reckon he's going to prime himself for a big final series, probably batting at 3 for us in the twos. So, Ansh, you're my man. Good luck. And bowlers, I reckon it's Tommy Eisen. We all know how hard he works, how hard he tries, how much he cares. He's been bowling well recently without reward in terms of wickets, but I think the red ball, long spells in finals, it's going to suit him beautifully, and he's going to be our man in the twos finals.
He followed on Daniel Croft's footsteps, winning the Norm Smith medal last year too, so a proven finals performer.
Yes, just about to mention that big, big finals performance last year in the threes grand final. Was it 6? Or
6.
Six, yeah.
Well, he's my man.
Fantastic.
Perfect.
Good selections.
That takes us to the end of the viewer questions, but what we might do now is have one more quick break and then we'll wrap up with the quiz.
Beautiful. Stay tuned for the quiz.
Hey OCC community, my name's Matt and you're listening to the Mighty Oaks podcast. Support us by following us on YouTube or checking out our socials.
Welcome back again to the Mighty Oaks podcast, our final segment of the episode, and we're going to debut a new segment, Giro's Quiz. You're going to quiz us on some general cricket topics, I believe.
Yeah, so I've got 8 questions for you guys tonight. So I've got a few general cricket questions and I've also got a few about each of us, actually. One question about each of us in our Oakley careers.
So Trent versus me.
Trent versus you. I'll be the host, dedicated to the Rogue Squire, who've cancelled their Tuesday night trivia I used to go to every week.
Do we have buzzers?
Yes, buzzers are your name. So whether you want to go Bung and Milosh or...
I've got a lot of nicknames.
Perfect.
Which one should I go?
All right, so just shout out your name when you have the answer and we'll keep score. Perfect.
Shieldsy.
Pura.
Yeah, yes, exactly. All right, cool. So first question. In 1979 at the Wacker in Perth, fast bowler Dennis Lilly came out to bat.
Bung.
Yes.
An aluminium bat.
Oh, perfect. He jumped in too early. So the rest of the question was, what was unusual about the bat?
Killing me.
Oh, I had to get one history question just because I saw that the other day.
1-0.
Perfect.
What was the end of the question?
What was
the controversial?
No, what was the unusual thing about the bat that he was holding? All right. Question 2. So for this one, there's multiple answers. So first one, a buzz in, will get the first chance. If you can't name all the answers, we'll flip to the second person.
C.
Sorry. No. You're just saying yes in Spanish.
All right. Since his test debut, David Warner has had 12 different opening partners.
Miles.
Name them. Okay, Milosh, start us off.
Chris Rogers.
1.
Shane Watson.
2.
Usman Khawaja.
3.
Phil Hughes.
4. I'll put you on a timer if you're taking too long. Sorry.
Cameron Bancroft.
5.
Will Pekowski.
6.
Oh, very good.
Sean Marsh.
7.
That could be me done, I reckon.
Wow, that was very...
7 out of how many?
7 out of 12. Okay. So, Trent, for 5 points, can you grab the rest back here?
Steve Smith?
No.
Oh, never opened together. He started after that.
He started up.
Josh Hazlewood?
Bam, bam. So, you're out. Josh Hazlewood. That will be you done. So, for the full list of 12, for those playing at home, in order, Phil Hughes, Eddie Cowan. For one game, yeah. Glenn Maxwell, 2013 against India and Delhi. Okay. Chris Rogers, Shane Watson, Sean Marsh, Joe Burns, Matthew Renshaw, Cam Bancroft was mentioned. Surprisingly not mentioned was Marcus Harris. Thought he might have got a mention.
Probably should have got more.
Probably should have got a couple more there, boys.
Probably never should have played Test cricket.
Yeah, that's harsh. All right, so question. So that's 7 to Miles and just still the 3-1 to Shieldsy.
Yes.
Come on. All right. Shane Warne took 708 career wickets. For wicket number 700, Miles.
Andrew Strauss.
I'm not going to give it to you.
Yes.
And that is punishment for not letting me finish the question.
Come on.
For wicket number 700, Trent, name the location, the game, the opposition, and the player he got out.
It was at the MCG.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Boxing Day Test.
Mm-hmm.
He was playing against England.
Mm-hmm.
He bowled Andrew Strauss.
Ding, ding, ding.
Robbed.
That's what happens when you don't let the quiz finish his questions. All right, question 4.
Andrew Simons made his debut 100 as well too.
Can yes, 150.
No.
150 with Matthew Hayden to rescue that innings.
Sorry, sounded like Matt sitting over this side now.
Australia won the 2015 World Cup at home against New Zealand. Name the Australia 11 that won that game.
Miles.
Miles. This is how you get the points, Trent. You've got to get in first.
I'll try and go in batting order.
Okay.
Aaron Finch.
Yep.
David Warner.
Yep.
Okay.
Just bank
scrap the order. Michael Clark.
Yep.
Steve Smith.
Yep.
Brad Haddon.
Yep.
Mitchell Stark.
Yep.
Mitchell Johnson.
7.
Was Shane Watson in there?
Yep.
All I can think of is Shane Warne asking everyone how many beers they're going to drink after they won.
So who is he asking? There's 3 left.
I'm missing...
See, this is where the struggles, because like they didn't go with a traditional lineup. In
that's
that
timed out, sure.
I am timing you out after.
No,
that was 10 seconds.
That's a long team. That's a lot of team
members. That was a long time that it took you to figure it out.
So you've got points for it.
You've got 3 left. Can you name the 3? And I'll give you a bonus point for it.
Glenn Maxwell.
1.
James Faulkner.
2.
Who's Josh Hazlewood.
Bang, 3. There you go.
I thought of 2 of those.
Extra bonus point as well. So that takes Miles to 15. You just got to get in quicker. Sorry, mate. And 6 for Trent.
Tough scoring system here.
It is very tough. All right. So for the last generic cricket question, what is the height of a cricket stump? And I'll give you to the nearest centimetre.
Of a stump.
Of a stump.
Miles.
Milosh. Go for it.
Centimetres.
Centimetres. Not inches.
72 centimetres.
Well, you are very close. It's 71 centimetres.
Didn't I get a guess?
No, he buzzed in first.
Yeah, but you got it wrong.
Oh, well.
Can I guess 71?
Well, 71.1 for the exact measurement. Should have gone with that. Apologies.
That's closer to 72.
Although that's within a centimetre, isn't it?
Yes, very true.
Just using maths.
Just using maths, yes. So maths. Unless you got the exact... Well, what would you have said out of curiosity?
I was going to say 76.
Oh, well, then he would have won anyway. Cool. Okay, okay, so on to the Oakley-specific questions. Actually, you know what? I've got 4 of these. I didn't realize. So there's actually 9 questions.
Let's go. Bang.
Question 6. In the 23-24 season, we have had 10 first 11 debutants. Can you name them and a bonus point for their number?
Miles.
Huge. Go.
Hey, you got to buzz in, Trent.
I know.
Okay, let's name the players.
Yep.
James Pattinson.
Yep.
Nathan Harford.
Yep.
Ben Fletcher.
Yep.
Josh Peake.
Yep.
James Francis.
Yep.
Rahul Surendran.
Yep.
Who else? 5. Ansh Srivastava. Chanukah, Ranatunga.
7. Yep.
Tom Ison.
Yep.
Mind
you can get these points back if you'd name their cap numbers, if he times out. Seeing as the chairman selectors, surely you'd know at least where we're up to.
Oh, did he? Dylan Grandall? Or had he already played?
No, he's won. And then I miscounted, so there's one more.
So I've got I could get 11 out of 10. So we've had a full team debut this 11 year.
11 out of 10.
11. Yeah.
So I'm missing one. Who?
Hey, you can get the cap numbers on this.
Who am I missing?
I'll give you 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The last one was Ayush Bethania. Can you get their numbers for bonus points?
379 to 380. I mean, 390.
No, 387 to 397. All right, last three questions. For those who don't know, I have been an OCC player for 11 years, as me personally. But Oakley Cricket...
This was a who am I?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, well, Matt, I had to clarify
from
that.
Noosa.
Matt from Noosa. But Oakley Cricket Club was not my first club. Can you name the first club I played at? I have mentioned this before. I'll give you two hints. I'll start off with one. The competition they primarily play in is the ECA.
Coburg.
That's Subby's name.
East Coburg. Didn't you mention Coburg when I said?
No, that's my old man.
Bung.
Trent.
Bung Club.
Mount Waverley Catholics.
Bam bam. Bam bam. Miles, I'll give you a second hint. And now Trent will probably kick himself. I have won my only premiership for cricket against this team.
Same team?
Yeah, I've played against them and won a premiership. You've got it now.
I know who it is now.
Yeah, that's why.
Buzz in.
Can I buzz back in?
No, he's out.
Oh.
Can I buzz
in? So you played for this club, then left this club and
I played for this club for 1 year. I played for this club for 1 year.
I'm sure they love you.
Yeah. Oh, they wouldn't remember me.
Glen Waverley Cougars.
Ooh,
close.
You got the first part, right?
Glen Waverley.
Glen Iris.
Glen Iris. I played 1 year there, funnily enough, with Jimmy Francis.
Oh, there you go.
We went to primary school together. We both ended up there. Played with a few other guys as well. Max Mulcahy, whose brother Harry was actually playing Maxie. Grand final. And Fraser Rosman, who got drafted to Melbourne a couple of years ago.
Oh, yes, Fraser.
So, last one.
Is he still on the list?
Yeah, no, he got delisted.
I mean, no.
Why aren't you asking Miles these questions?
Not including this system. So, as of 2022, the 2023 season, how many catches as a wicketkeeper has Miles taken in his career? I'll give you to the near...
For Oakley.
Career. Career. Bung. All-time career. Trent.
213.
Miles, I'll give you a right of reply.
I think that's pretty close. Not including this year.
Not total including catches,
219.
Chockies to Bung, 207 catches in your career.
Ooh, very close. Nice. Fun fact about catches. Do you ever listen to Mark Waugh talk about catches?
Oh, he's so fast. So yeah. Slips catches.
Apparently, Steve Smith has dropped 57 catches in Test cricket. Mark Waugh claims to have only dropped 5.
Nah, that's crap. He's my dad's favourite player.
I don't think Mark Waugh would have dropped 5, so yeah, I agree.
Last question is about Trent. Trent is known as a bowler and has taken 278 wickets across his career. According to my cricket, that's all you've got.
Pre-my cricket days.
Pre-my cricket.
Oh, yeah, of course, pre-my cricket.
325.
Sure. not on the internet. Okay. However, he's also made 217 runs. What is his career high score?
Bung.
Bung. Go for it.
25.
Huge. Got it.
Yes.
Not out or out?
Was out. It was in a 58-run partnership with David Grace in the third 11 at Scammell.
Very beautiful. Nice. Love it. And he's even remembered the game. Awesome. So Miles convincingly takes that just because he got to the list quicker.
I only made 217 runs. I remember every one of them.
Perfect. Awesome. So that brings an end to my quiz. I'll hand it back over to you, Milosh, to wrap us up for tonight.
Beautiful. Thank you for the quiz. We've had a nice long episode tonight. That is the end of our episode. Just want to once again thank Ray White, our community partner and official sponsor of the Mighty Oaks podcast. Thanks for tuning in. If you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, leave us a review or a rating. And if you're watching on YouTube, give us a like, comment and subscribe, as they say. Any final words, gents, before we head out?
Smash that bell.
Smash that bell.
Smash that bell.
I'm going to bring up once again, the Toyota Good for Cricket raffle and the container deposit scheme.
Still obviously going.
Two initiatives that are still going.
Only a couple of days left for Toyota Good for Cricket raffle.
So get in super quick. Chance to win three really brand important new cars.
Support your club.
Support your club. All the money comes back to the cricket club. So get around to support us and the container deposit scheme. All we're doing is just saving bottles. Take them down to your local container deposit centre. You can just look it up on Google and it gives you a list of all the spots in their opening time. I don't even know how to describe it, but you just scan the barcodes and it saves all the money.
Use the Oakley Cricket Club code if you want to donate to us.
To us. We'll have it up on the screen now. Super easy initiative. Keep an eye on the socials because I'll be heading down to take the Oakley Collective down at some point and I'll run you through how to do it. It's super easy.
Beautiful.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you, gents. Thanks for listening. Have a good night. We'll see you next time.